parallels were or are between the Hackensack County administrator.
Well, I'm struck by the parallels. Let me first start by saying that I'm really honored and humbled to be here with Nick, who really has done a remarkable thing. We should all be grateful to him. That the parallels are really striking. When I was listening to Alan give that recitation, and I remember being so struck at the idea of criminals working for the White House, for the President of the United States, when we were doing the Watergate story. And I'm thinking, criminals working for a newspaper, being a substitute for reporters, gathering news through criminal acts. It's absolutely stunning. I wrote a piece for Newsweek and the Daily Beast comparing the two events, and I think both are shattering cultural moments of huge consequence that are going to be with us for generations. That really what Rupert Murdoch managed to do was break the very civic compact of this country, particularly, through achieving a degree of control over the essential institutions of a free society, the press, the police, and the politicians. It's extraordinary. And I have been one who has never accepted any of this gate stuff and parallels that are always made, usually by the Murdoch press, to some sex scandal with a gate appended to it.
But this is the one gate.
But this is for real. And the parallels are remarkable. Because first of all, the important thing is not the smoking gun and whether or not Rupert Murdoch knew that on X date, one of his employees hacked a telephone. The important thing, why any more than whether Richard Nixon knew on X date that the burglars were going to go into the political opposition's place in Watertown. It's about a sensibility. It's about a sensibility that corrupted a free institution. And the consequences of that sensibility are so far-reaching. Because what has happened in terms of the low end of the Murdoch press is that it has driven the ever-descending lowest common denominator of journalism, not only at Murdoch's papers, but in this country particularly, at the other tabloids, in our country as well. It has resulted in a diminution of reportorial standards at many, many newspapers which have emulated the Murdoch press. In terms of the most basic decision we make as journalists and reporters, what is news? And that, too, is a disturbing aspect of this story as follows. That we have not heard much about the consumers of the trash, who in this country especially, but also in America, positively kindle at the crap that is published in these newspapers. And you can't separate journalism any more than you can separate the presidency of the United States from the rest of the culture.
So the consumers have responsibility for that culture as well?
Absolutely. We don't exist in a vacuum. So I start from that point in this discussion, and I also come from a tradition that I believe that freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of the press to practice its craft without inhibition is absolutely essential. And that Murdoch's ultimate sin may well be to result in inhibiting the press in this country even further. But back to the Watergate example, this is about corruption at the highest levels. And it is about the corruption of the process of a free society. And I think it's also important to note that, like Richard Nixon, Rupert Murdoch is not some easy one-dimensional subject that we can just capture as the black hat guy. He's been the most brilliant media understood that there is another way to present news on television through Sky.
Let's not focus too much on him just now, because
I'm sure I'll get away from the idea of simply making this bash run up.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, so if you believe in free speech, if you are fundamentally anti-regulation, what do you do about this scandal that we have?
Well, I think that all societies need laws that govern all people who egregiously violate people's privacy in various ways, whether it's through breaking and entering. The question of we abuse, and I've been saying this for 40 years now, and I wrote a piece called The Idiot Culture, a cover story from the New Republic magazine about 25 years ago. We in the press, at all levels, routinely abuse our freedom by violating unnecessarily people's privacy and by defaming them. And we have got to begin to come to grips without extraordinary regulation that puts us in a separate box from the rest of society. So how do you do that? I would say, if you want to have a body of defamation law and you want to have a body of privacy law in which you create a small claims or some kind of court of complaints for people, ordinary people, to have access to the court system to sue newspapers, because right now one of the things you cannot do is if a newspaper has the means that you don't have if you've been damaged through the payment. So it's possible to maybe explore some kind of claimant court of defamation or invasion of privacy. But any kind of prior restriction, prior restraint on what we publish,